This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
We'll talk some NBA at noon with Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. A couple more crazy games last night in the NBA playoffs. I mean, every night here for the last 4 or 5 days and nights have been incredibly thrilling in terms of the finishes. Last night, you had an incredible comeback in the final 45 seconds by Indiana to take a 2-0 lead in Cleveland. And then Steph Curry got injured, and it may be serious. And Golden State still beat Minnesota in game one last night. The home team in this second round of the NBA playoffs has yet to win a game in five chances. That is unprecedented, unheard of, never happened prior to this year. Typically in the NBA, unlike in hockey, the best team wins 4 out of 7. We'll see what happens in this round. But Steph getting injured last night was a big blow. Adam Peters went on Pat McAfee yesterday. Had a lot to say about a lot of interesting topics. We're going to play some of that for you starting in about 10 minutes. So I was just reading, early this morning, just a bunch about, what's left in the NFL. This was before the Pickens trade was announced, and I mentioned Jalen Ramsey and Trey Hendrickson and who's going to be the Steelers quarterback is some of the big stories. And I came across this little nugget from a story on ESPN.com. It was key intelligence on all 32 teams after the 2025 NFL draft. And for Washington, and maybe Keim wrote this, but there's a quote in here from an AFC executive about Trey Amos. Trey Amos, the Ole Miss corner, was projected by most mock drafts. He was projected to go in the first round anywhere from the mid-first round to no worse than maybe early second round. Now, again, there was a lot of, mystery around picks 7 through 70 in this draft. There just was. There was a lot of belief from teams even, not just the mock drafters and the analysts, that, there were 60 players after the top 5 or 6 that were interchangeable for all intents and purposes. But anyway, Amos, for the most part, was consistently mocked in the mid-first to worst-case early second, and instead, he fell all the way until Washington's pick in the second round at number 61 overall. So, it was lauded as a pick that was a great value pick. However, this was in the write-up, Key Intelligence on the Draft, when it came to Washington. Quote, one aspect that might have hurt his value slightly is that multiple teams discovered a back injury in the pre-draft process. This wasn't a major red flag for some teams, but it was at least a mild concern that, quote, according to one AFC exec, said, probably caused him to slide a bit, closed quote. However, people around Amos and the Commanders did not seem overly concerned about it. So I was curious about this. You don't see much written about a back injury. Now, what he did have at the combine was he had an ankle injury that knocked him out of most of the combine weekend for corners. So he had an ankle injury there, and he had had some hamstring injuries at Ole Miss, okay? And not necessarily, he had some hamstring issues at Louisiana. This was before he transferred to Bama, and then had some hamstring issues at Ole Miss as well. You know, hamstring issues, you know, we've been around sports as fans long enough to know that the soft tissue injuries are always concerning. Obviously, Marshon Lattimore, hamstring issues, right? In New Orleans, that cost him games, and then cost him games here after he got here. But nobody seemed very concerned about the hamstring injuries or even the ankle injury that caused him to miss most of the testing at the combine. He was able to run at the combine because he ran 4.43. But this intelligence about a back injury that was discovered in the pre-draft process, I think, was new news. And perhaps that's the reason that teams passed on him. The corners in the draft, and there were plenty of corners, just like there were other positions, but it was a deep draft. If you take Travis Hunter out of the equation, because corner, wide receiver, you know, before Amos went, Jahdae Barron went in the first round at number 20 overall to Denver. Maxwell Hairston, who ran a ridiculous 40 time, I think it was 4.28, sub-4.3 anyway, went at the end of the first round to Buffalo. Will Johnson, remember with the injury, he was the one that was projected to go second or first overall if you didn't consider Travis Hunter to be a corner. But his injury caused him to drop to 15th pick in the second round to Arizona. And then Benjamin Morrison, who had had two hip surgeries. But I'm telling you, I think Washington liked him as a player. Going into the draft, Benjamin Morris got picked 8 slots ahead of Washington at number 21 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Trey Amos got picked at number 29 at the end of the second round, 61 overall. The corner that went after Amos was the corner that I kind of fell in love with before the draft, Arian Porter from Iowa State. He went early in the third round, which was, you know, we talked about, I talked about the player and I said, I don't know how this guy is a projected day 3 pick or very late, you know, night 2 pick. He's got to go higher than that. He didn't go in the second round. He went in the third round, but he went early, early in the third round. And then Siobhan Revelle Jr. from East Carolina, a player that was mocked in the first round of a lot of drafts, he went to Dallas in the third round as well. You know, after that, there was Quincy Riley from Louisville, who people kind of liked. But I think Amos, in terms of most mocks, probably went before Morrison in most drafts. Instead, there were essentially 4 corners instead of 3 taken before him. But still, end of second round seems like good value. Maybe the back injury was part of the reason. I do think that there were some players that Washington would have been interested in had they fallen. I still think the first round, though, you know, Connerly was their guy after a certain point. You know, Tyler Booker, I had learned sort of before the draft, and that's why I was pumping Tyler Booker, if he fell to 29, would likely be the pick. I do think that Ezeraku was somebody that they were very interested in, but remember about Donovan Azaraku from Boston College. Really a specialist, at least to start in his career. He's 248 pounds. The guy was not going to be your first round edge setting run stopper. He was going to be a specialized pass rusher. Dallas drafted him as well in the second round. What pick did he go in the second round? He went at 44 overall, 12th pick in the second round. But I, other than Booker, I question who else could have been there for Washington at 29 that they would have taken instead of Connerly Jr. I don't think it would have been Pierce. I don't know that. Let me be clear on that. I don't know that. But Pierce Jr., with some of the red flags on things like work ethic, I think would have been a player that would not have fit into what Washington has looked for, you know, in the draft here in the first 2 years. Donovan Jackson would have been interesting had he dropped to 29, the offensive lineman from Ohio State. I am curious as to what they thought of Matthew Golden, the wide receiver that went to Green Bay at 23 overall. I don't think that they would have picked a running back, you know, an Omarion Hampton at 22. In fact, I think if they were going to take a running back early, it would have been Travion Henderson. Yeah, so, you know, I've heard people say Shamar Stewart, you know, because of the athletic, the ridiculous, you know, relative athletic score test. It's just that the production wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe if Shamar Stewart had fallen to 29, it's a possibility. But I would say out of all of the players that were picked before Connerly Jr., that Booker would have been the one that would have been interesting had he fallen to 29. I thought Ezeraku would be, you know, a strong possibility, and he was on the board at 29. But they like Connerly Jr., and we know that now, you know, almost definitively, not just because they told us that, but if you didn't take them at their word, the Howie Roseman sound that we played on the show yesterday with him trying, the Eagles trying to trade up a couple of spots with Washington, and they weren't going to take Connerly Jr. They were going to take the linebacker from Bama. They didn't know that they would get him at 32. They traded up they traded up one spot with Kansas City to 31 to take him. They would have taken him at 29. But Washington at that point knew that there was a chance, had they traded down even just a few spots to 32 where Philadelphia resided in that moment, that a team like the Chiefs could have taken Connerly Jr., and that's the player they wanted at that point. That's the player they wanted. The only other kind of interesting scenario, I think, is in the fourth round. They weren't in the third round, but in the fourth round, I know that they like and did like Jalen Lane, and you're going to hear Adam Peters talk about Jalen Lane. There's no doubt they like the player. But I do wonder if David Walker from Central Arkansas, or if Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, or maybe Jack Sawyer or Baron Sorrell, but I think the first two that I mentioned more than the latter two, four defensive end edges that went in the seven picks prior to Washington selecting at 26. So you had that one last big edge defensive end move by teams, four of them taken in a five-pick stretch in the fourth round. I do wonder if one of those, you know, two, Kennard or Walker, had slipped to 20 to Washington at 128, if Washington would have gone edge defensive end there. But they certainly liked Jalen Lane. All right, when we come back, Adam Peters made an appearance yesterday on Pat McAfee's show. There was a lot that he answered. I mean, we got more from him in the Pat McAfee interview than we've typically gotten from Adam Peters. I'll play some of it for you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, our show now is on YouTube. You can find us at the Team 980 YouTube page. If you download the Odyssey app, you can just open up the app and type in Team 980 and hit subscribe. But there's a big subscribe button. We'd ask you to hit that. That's good for us. And also hitting the like button is a good thing for us as well. So my show streams 10 to 1, as does Craig Hoffman's show on the Team 980 from 4 to 7.